I want to talk to you for a few minutes on the matter of indecision. Often we have talked about decision here, but tonight I want to look at it in a converse way and speak to you about indecision. Indecision is a condition of mind and will that is not good to suffer. We cannot be indecisive on many things. We cannot be indecisive whenever conscientious parents are desiring the well-being of their children. They have got to make decisions, and very often they have got to make them promptly. We have to decide. We can't afford to be indecisive about what we wear going out to work or school in the mornings or whenever we go out to work. Business people could never afford to be indecisive with regard to certain aspects of their business. Neither can any of us afford to be indecisive whenever we make out our schedules for each day. We've got to decide. We've got to make hard decisions on where to do, who to see, what's involved in our work. And whenever income has to be budgeted to keep pace with all the expenditure, we by no means can afford to be indecisive there. How much more then can we afford to be indecisive whenever we're dealing with spiritual matters and eternal matters that concern our souls and our eternal destiny? And the verse that I want to draw your attention to base this subject on, you've probably spotted it in our reading, verse 21 of 1 Kings 18, where we have these words, Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But of Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. I want you to notice a number of things about indecision here. First of all, there is the situation it has regards to. In this context, it had regard to what is called two opinions. The word opinion means here, it means thought. It means views. The word halt means, not the way we understand it in modern day English, to stop, to come to a standstill, but it meant to stagger. It meant to move over to one side or to move back to another side. So we have God referred to and we have Baal. How long halt ye between two opinions? One of those opinions was God, the other was Baal. God was the God to whom the Israelites had pledged themselves only after God had initially pledged himself to them. They had reciprocated, but time and time again they had broken the covenant. And at this particular time there was a crisis in the land, right up for several years, that resulted in a vast famine, the pinches of which were felt so keenly and sharply by everybody that lived in the country. Baal was the name of a heathen deity, an imaginary person. No such person existed. But this religion was brought into the country by Jezebel and sponsored by her husband who married Jezebel, King Ahab, and had funded the religion of Baal in the country that had been set aside for God. What a terrible state of affairs. And now these Israelites were going back and forwards to God on the one hand or to Baal on the other hand. And it was pathetic. And now they're being challenged about the matter. Let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen, whatever either side is, where are you tonight between God, between your soul's eternal welfare and the world and your selfishness and the sins that you commit? Are there times that you think very seriously of moving over to God and giving your life to Christ, but other times you turn your back on the Lord and go full-fledged into the world and all that it has to offer? Is that the situation that finds you here tonight in? But notice, secondly, the confrontation that this indecision drew. It couldn't go on that way forever. Elijah has appeared on the scene, and now he's speaking to the nation. Marvelously, he managed to get all the nation, the king, and the false prophets of Baal, and the false priests of Baal, all together on Mount Carmel. And he says, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God serve him? God, for instance. How could the children of Israel need any persuasion about serving him? He was the creator. They had a grand and glorious history. He brought them out of Egypt. He brought them out of slavery by the redemption of the Passover sacrifice, the death and the blood of the Lamb. He saw to them in Sinai. He gave them his law. He kept them in the wilderness after he brought them through the Red Sea. He led them for years, brought them into Canaan, triumphed over all their enemies, got them established in the country, gave them a king, gave them a great king such as David was, gave them prophets like Samuel and Elijah himself. What a history they had. What a God who was interested in them. Baal, why he was given to idolatry, superstition, led the people, the religion led the people to do that. And lewdness and filth that went along with it. How could they choose him? But they still had to make a choice. And when you think of what God has done for sinners in Christ, when he sent his only begotten Son into the world to bleed and to die and to make atonement, when he offered himself without spot to God as a sacrifice for our sins, put that on the one side. Put on the other side what this world offers. The world can offer nothing. The Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say it to you tonight, the choice should be obvious. Choose God and live. This is what Joshua called out. He said, choose you this day whom you will serve. This is what Moses called out. Who is on the Lord's side? And just as those prophets were direct in their call to the people to choose wisely, so preachers in this day and age must equally be direct to call people to repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus. But there's a third thing about this indecision, and that is not only the situation that it had regard to, and not only the confrontation that it drew, but there was the correction that it required. The prophet says, if God be God, then serve him. If Baal be Baal, serve him. Be one or the other. But you have got to amend your ways. And the people being God's covenant people, the choice was obvious what they should make. And men and women and young people, God has blessed us time and time again in so many ways. What can the world really offer us? What's the world going to do for us whenever we're on a deathbed? What's the world going to do for us when we're in deep trouble and cannot find a way out? What does the world do when darkness enshrouds us and envelops us? We need God. We need the light of the world. We need the counselor. We need the guide. And I would say to you tonight, trust Christ as your personal Savior and walk with him and love him and serve him. Don't be given to indecision. Decide tonight and decide wisely. And the last thing I want to say about this matter of indecision is the question it prompts. Notice the wording of the prophet. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long is this state of affairs going to persist with you? And I might say that to you tonight. Those of you who have thought many times over the years here, yes, I need to choose Christ. I need to have Christ as my Savior. How long is this going to go on for? Let me put it to you this way. Is it going to go on? To you young people, or old people, do you know there are elderly people in this room tonight not saved yet, and they were like you once, and they thought when they were your age, they would get saved long before the age they are now, and they're still not saved? You can't afford to put this matter off. How long halt ye? How long totter ye? How long stagger you over to this side and then to the other side? Until your health gives way and you're so wrecked with pain and you can't even think about spiritual matters? Or how long until you lose your senses? Until you have an illness where your mind is not able anymore to grasp these truths? How long will it be until a deathbed and you have no guarantee that you'll even get an opportunity to cry out to the Savior to have mercy upon you? I urge you, ladies and gentlemen, have done with indecision, but rather decide tonight. Decide promptly. Decide wisely. Decide thoroughly. Because if you don't decide, if you remain in your state of indecision, there's a benevolence that you're continually disparaging, and the benevolence comes from God. God is benevolent. He's many things, but he's benevolent, and he wants to bless you. But not only is benevolence being disparaged, but there's allegiance to him that is being withheld. We are his by creation, even though we're not saved yet. That is, those in the meeting who are not saved. We still owe him allegiance and devotion and worship and love. And by holding back, by being indecisive, we are withholding that allegiance, that devotion. How long is it going to continue? Choose Christ tonight. Make him your very own. Do what Paul did when he was a sick former. Made sure that it was well with his soul. Come over on the side of